Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Meet the Candidates. I'm your host, Jonathan Grabowski. Just a reminder before we get started that primary day is September 4th, so please get out and vote. And joining me today is someone who's going to be in that primary on September 4th, and it's Beth Lindstrom, who is a Republican candidate mm-hmm. for U.S. Senate. Beth, thanks for joining us on the show today.
My pleasure. Thank you for letting me be here.
Absolutely. Before we get into issues and topics, who is Beth Lindstrom?
Well, I'm a mom. I'm a small business owner, but I've had a lengthy history of many different career positions. I've been a citizen activist. I was the first woman director of the Republican State Party, helped to elect, you know, Bill Weld, Paul Scalucci, Joe Malone, Mitt Romney, ran Scott Brown's first race, and was head of a super PAC that helped elect Charlie Baker last time. So that's a little bit my political. First woman to run the lottery, sat on Governor Romney's cabinet as Secretary of Consumer Affairs. But I've been involved in four startup companies, and I'm a small business owner. So I have a very background and different perspective than my opponents, for sure.
Okay. Why are you running? Why this seat? Why the U.S. Senate seat?
Well, I believe our current U.S. Senator is running for president. And, you know, there's a lot of information that tells us she is. So we need somebody here in Massachusetts who's actually going to represent the people here. I want to be that voice. Given my perspective, given my background, I am that person who can be going down to Washington, create relationships, and actually deliver for people in Massachusetts.
Okay. I want to jump back to something you said about you were the Secretary of Consumer Affairs under Governor Romney.
Sure.
What are some of the accomplishments of that?
Sure. Well, many. And we did so many things when I was there. But I think kind of the biggest accomplishment is being able to create relationships with some of the Democrats and be able to work together, which is a skill set. It absolutely is. But we introduced competition into the auto insurance market. We worked for 2 years to be able to pushed that along, that eventually lowered rates for consumers. We won a Better Government Award from the Pioneer Institute, where we culled out unnecessary regulations for businesses. Mm-hmm. And one thing I'm very proud of is that I created a high school financial literacy program called HiFi, where I worked with, you know, Democrats across the aisle to be able to get train 800 teachers to teach kids the difference between a debit card and a credit card, which I felt at the time was really important. So many accomplishments.
Okay. Still a little civics 101 here. What
sure.
is the role of a U.S. senator?
Well, you have two senators per state, and their role is to contribute to the body of the Senate and represent the whole state. And for me, that's what's important. I mean, you have many people who go to Washington with the best intentions, mm-hmm. and then they kind of lose their way. So you have, you know, again, Congress is apportioned by people, two U.S. senators per state, and you represent everybody. And that's the role. But to go down and be able to have that voice in the Senate.
You worked on Scott Brown's campaign. So as someone that's, you know, been behind the scenes working on campaigns, what's it like being up front now?
Well, it is very different. It's a lot easier being behind the scenes
really?
And being able to say, you know, do this or do that. But when you're the candidate, it's different because you're so much more emotionally in tune with it's you rather than, you know. But I mean, there's so many great people who work for the campaign, and I'm so thrilled we've got a great team. But it is different because you're putting yourself out there. You're the one lending your hand forward to shake a hand and get to know people. But that's the beauty of it too. For me, this is what's exciting about this, because you meet so many people and you hear about what they're concerned about. Small business tours, talking to large organizations, what are their struggles. And the other thing is that you see these at a 50,000 foot level. So you're able as a senator to connect the dots, to be able to say, I see this over here, I see this over here. How can we pull these things together for everybody to benefit? And not too many people have that perspective. So that's what excites me about running in this race.
We live in a society nowadays of, you know, someone's on the far right. We have, you know, Democrats, socialists, you know, everything in between. Where do you stand on the political spectrum?
So I say, if you are not 20 yard lines to the goalpost, then we could have a lot in common.
Okay.
And I believe that's where I fall. I'm a reasonable and rational Republican, fiscal conservative, but I support Roe versus Wade, if you're going to, you know, put that in its spectrum.
Okay. So is there, if there's, say, there's, if you like this, you know, former candidate, you'd like Beth Lindstrom. Is there someone that, you know, is comparable?
Well, I've had a long history, 30 years in the Republican Party, unlike my opponents who, you know, John Kingston left the party and Jeff Deal was a Democrat to 2008. Right. I've had a long history of being able to elect Republicans. So, you know, pick one that you like, and I've been involved and helped. So I think, you know, I started under Ray Shammy, who was, you know, very conservative as a state party chair. But you find that you find what you have in common, and I think that's what it's about.
And then you have like a Bill Weld, who libertarian almost,
right? And so everybody's different. So,
what separates you from your opponents in the primary? We just kind of talked about them a little
bit. Sure. Well, I would love to be able to tell more voters about what separates us. We've had these. Opportunity to debate. I mean, after the convention, so let me talk about the convention for 2 seconds.
Absolutely.
You know, you go to the convention, those are your party insiders, you know, the 2,500 people that attend. And in the first ballot, you know, Jeff got 47, we got 30. We just wanted to get our 15%. Mm-hmm. And Kingston, after spending $4 million, got 17. So, and then 1,000 people left. So you're really talking about the 1,500 people that were voting. But you go from there to go to the primary, you know, 300,000 voters. And so, you know, for me, it's the challenge to be able to get out my message and the differences between us, which are, you know, love to have more debates, first of all. You know, after the convention, we
have 10. I'll ask you about that in
a second. So the difference is, you know, Jeff has been a career politician. He's run for 3 offices in 3 years. And, you know, the definition of a career politician is someone who says one thing and does another. And for Jeff, you know, who reeled against the pay raise and then finally took it when no one was looking, I think that's what sours people on politicians. Mm-hmm. And the last thing we need to do is send another one of those to D.C. Mm-hmm. So there are some real differences between Jeff and myself. And with Kingston, too, you know, he left the party. He funded a third-party candidate. Mm-hmm. And if that person was successful, Hillary Clinton would be the president. But I think the lack of credibility for him is that he's now trying to run as a pro-Trump candidate. And so he's just not credible.
Right.
I mean, what can people believe? But he is someone who says, you know, I'm just going to buy the race. And I think people also kind of take that with a grain of salt, too.
Why aren't we seeing more debates? I know you guys did debate with the Herald. Why aren't we seeing more?
Well, and that's interesting because the Herald, you know, was a web-based debate.
Yeah.
It wasn't on the radio dial, although, you know, Joe Battenfeld is great. And, you know, he was really pushing to get us on there. I think that at the end of that debate, when we started to really get to talk about our differences, and that's what deprives voters, you know, the ability to see what those differences are. I think as we started to talk a little bit about that, then they shied away. They're hiding. I mean, I did 4 debates. I showed up to 4 debates by myself in the last week. They were no-shows. And even the last one at WATD, Jeff Deal was up in Boston on another radio program. So why wasn't he there? Sunday night at WBZ, Sunday night at 9 o'clock,
yeah.
He, you know, no-showed. What are you doing at 9 o'clock Sunday night? So I think voters should ask them that question. Why are you not debating Beth Lindstrom? But I think that I know the reason why. Because they don't want to talk about their differences. Because they will have to start to tell the truth about a few things.
That's kind of a softball question right here. But
sure.
What are some of the key items that separate you from Senator Warren?
Oh, gosh, there's a lot.
I know we could probably spend half an hour on
that. We could spend a lot of time. But I think that's why I'm running. Because I do have some disagreements on where she stands. She's going so far left because she is running for president. So when you start to go so far left and you become so progressive, you know, that puts you in conflict with the people in Massachusetts that you're supposed to represent. I mean, let's go talk about her last comments about the justice system. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everyone's racist to front to back. That is unbelievable. That comes out of our U.S. senator's mouth. But because she was in Louisiana and she had to pander to that audience, this is what she's saying. Now she has to try to dial it back as she comes to Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not what I would want in a U.S. senator. But again, you're seeing that she puts herself into conflict because she's running for president.
Right.
So example after example.
Okay. I want to get into some of the big topics here.
Sure.
First one's securing our borders. Where do you stand on the topic of sanctuary cities?
Well, let me tell you about where I stand on immigration.
Go for it.
I think that, you know, there's been confusion between legal and illegal, and I'm all for legal immigration. Mm-hmm. I think it makes our country rich and diverse, and we do. We're a very compassionate nation. We let a lot of people in. But we have to have one system. We are a nation of laws. We have to secure our borders. So sanctuary cities, Elizabeth Warren goes around the country and she advocates for them. And so that gives people false hope as they take this terrible trek crossing the border, which, you know, we've got 46 ports of entry. So if they're looking for asylum, you know, there are places they can go without being separated. And I'm not for family separation. Mm-hmm. But that's the problem. She gives people this wrong message. And we have to stop messaging that it is easier to come here illegally than legally. But okay. When she does that, she gives false hope that people will find sanctuary. And that's the bad message.
Okay. Do we need complete immigration reform? Do we need tweaks? Or
I think we need comprehensive reform. I think there are a lot of good people who would come to the table because we need to fix it. We've politicized it way too long. Mm-hmm. We just need to fix it. And I would love to be able to do that.
Okay. Three dreaded letters, ACA, the Affordable Care Act. Keep, modify, scrap it. Why?
Well, I think you have to look at what we have here in Massachusetts and that we have 97% of the people mm-hmm. covered. I was on Governor Romney's cabinet when we did Romney Care. Different model. We were trying to use free market principles. It's tweaked and changed a little bit, but we need to stabilize it. I mean, I'm a small business owner. I know what it's like to keep the cost of business low. Mm-hmm. So, but if our objective is to get people covered, you have to participate in that. So we have a governor who's expert in health care. You know, I'd love to be able to work with mm-hmm. him. I think there are some tweaks. There are some, but I think the bigger thing is to look at where Elizabeth Warren wants to take us to socialized medicine, single payer, and I think that's wrong. That would upend our whole healthcare industry in Massachusetts. So we need to prevent that.
I was going to ask you, why would nationalized healthcare be such a problem?
Well, I'll tell you the key reason for me is because you look at like the European Union and other nations, they're moving their research and development companies to the United States. Because when you have government run these things, then you quash any disruptive innovation. And I know that there's companies out there that are on the verge of maybe 2 years from Alzheimer's disease medication. That would never happen in a socialized medicine environment. So we need to have innovation. When government runs anything, you have to scratch your head about whether that's the best way to handle it.
Let's talk economy for a second here. You were the former consumer affairs chief under Governor Romney. What's government's role in business?
Well, I think you have to find the balance between consumer protection and making sure businesses can thrive. And it really is a balance. Mm-hmm. For consumers, you want to make sure that you don't have bad actors out there. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some bad actors right. there. You need some regulatory mm-hmm. environment to make sure that they are not scamming people. But on the flip side, you need to make sure that there's not so much regulation that, businesses can't thrive. And I've seen that. You need to make sure that, this is the foundation. 1.5 million people in Massachusetts work in small business, mm-hmm. work in other businesses. I say the best social program is a job. And government doesn't create job, people do. So you need to make sure that you have an environment where you can have a strong economy. Because as we see, we have the lowest unemployment. Mm-hmm. People are spending. We had $1.3 billion extra dollars or $1.5 billion come to the state coffers. Mm-hmm. And then you can do more with that taxpayer money.
Do you think federal government now currently regulates too much?
Good question. I think that there's some areas where we could probably alleviate some of that, okay. and there's some areas where I think it's important. Certainly, there's a balance. It really is always a balance. I mean, okay. you look at this shark attack just the other day, and yeah. now the question is, okay, we have too many seals, but it's because of the regulation that was there, but then, mm-hmm. So it's always a balance.
Okay.
It is.
One of the biggest issues the South Shore is facing, and the South Shore Chamber of Commerce did a study on this, is that South Shore is an aging population. They need to attract younger people, attract more business. How would you help to work to attract younger people to South Shore and attract business to the
area?
Well,
I think it all goes back to jobs.
Okay.
It goes back to jobs and affordability. So we have such a great state because we have so much, so many resources in education and healthcare, financial services. So you need to be able to say, and certainly now with the internet, you can do a lot of those things and mm-hmm. you can spread a little bit. But you have to be able to have your ecosystem support that. So in the South Shore, whether it's a commutable job, the support business in the economy, but you have to make it so that young person wants to stay. So what do they want to do? They want to have some entertainment. They want to be able to have a social mm-hmm. life. They want to be able to afford a home. So it's all of the above. And I think our governor actually is doing really terrific at at some of this. As a U.S. senator, what could I do to partner? And I think that's looking at how the government and whatever regulatory roles or grants or supporting industry. When you think about biotech, is there, when a company wants to locate, you know, what's been happening lately with our current U.S. senator? Well, they haven't been locating here in Massachusetts. So making sure you can attract business, because that's what it is. The, you know, capital is mobile. Businesses are mobile. If you don't have a job, you're not going to attract anyone, never mind younger folks.
We're in Marshfield, so if you ask people, one of the biggest issues, it's coastline issues, infrastructure, seawalls, storms, climate change, sea level rise, things like that. What's your view on coastal infrastructure and preservation of it?
Well, I think it is a big issue, and not knowing specifically on Marshfield, but I think you look at it in total, climate change is happening, and it has a human element to it. So how can we have some policies that acknowledge that? But also, I'm not quite sure there's one big fix, especially from the federal government. I think we have to look at our technology, too. I just met a gentleman who's got a startup that has some type of device that can help build small segments of seawalls rather than, you know, kind of a huge one. To me, I love to solve problems. I'm a strategic thinker. Love to be able to work with our governor and see what, you know, and then that's how you can attract young people, create the opportunity for projects to be able to settle here and have a long term. But and that might be a federal grant. I'm not sure. There you go. But there's a lot to do there.
Congressional reform. You are a supporter of term limits.
I am.
Why?
Well, because I think that we need to go back to our founders' vision of a citizens' legislature, especially in Washington. I mean, you see the people who are now retiring, and they are so free for their thought. You know, it's because they're not hampered down with having to come back and raise money. So I think when you have those burdens off of your legislators, you know, there's a little bit more of that, you know, give and take and an ability to make decisions. And I believe also it's great to have a new set of eyes after a while. Now, granted, some people will say, well, you know, you kind of bring back the bacon when you have someone in there for so long. And there's some truth to that. But it's all about relationships and to be able to make relationships. Whoever is the president, you need to be able to go down and say, hey, you know, how can we work together? Because for the most part, after you do create relationships, you can find some common ground.
Why are you in favor of a salary freeze for legislators?
Well, I think we've had a budget that hasn't been set, and you have continuing resolutions to refund the government, and so isn't that their main job, is to create a budget? Now, for me, as a business person, I would say, figure out what your goals and objectives are, zero-based budgeting. What do you need, what do you need to run these programs? And wouldn't that be refreshing to actually kind of go back to the beginning and say, what do we need given what we're trying to do, rather than just see government, and I've been in it, it's like if we don't spend it, then we're going to lose it. There's no incentive to be a fiscal conservative there and save taxpayers money. I've been in those situations. So to me, that's why if they're not doing their job, then, you know, they shouldn't.
Wrapping up, so we have a few fun questions we're going to end with.
Okay.
So you've been going around the state. What are you hearing from constituents?
Well, I'm hearing, number one, that they'd like a new U.S. senator. And I think that's very positive because they believe Elizabeth Warren is running for president and that they feel left behind. But I also talk about the challenges of businesses. And, you know, the healthcare is concerning for some people. The tariffs are concerning. But, you know, we collectively just need to get through some of what we're seeing. But the bigger issue, they're happy about the economy because they are seeing that people have more money in their pockets. 80% of the people in Massachusetts are seeing that. So it's a good economy. Now, granted, we do have a little political divide.
Right.
And for me, I think that that feels frustrating for a lot of constituents.
Has there been one interaction or meeting someone that's been really memorable so far?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, meeting a mom who lost her son to an opioid from a farmer who out in Leiden, who's trying to talk to Elizabeth Warren for 6 years and never getting a response, to veterans who are frustrated because they don't have the care they need, to, you know, people, parents who are dealing with disabled children. I mean, there's so much. Mental health. I mean, there's a lot to focus on. I want to have the stellar constituent service, so that would be my goal, to make sure that everybody feels that they have a voice.
Right. What's something about you that people might find interesting? It's a fun fact.
A fun fact, well, I just was at the Marshfield Fair, and I took an axe and threw it and just missed the bullseye.
Wow.
No. Actually, I went over the top, but I hit the wood. So.
All right. Okay. All right. This is always a fun one to ask candidates because it's really kind of throws them off. If we were to take your iPod, your iPhone, you know, whatever music device you have, what music would we find on it?
Oh, well, I rode the Pan Mass Challenge a couple weekends ago, right. And I have a PMC playlist. So that is just a mix between, but I tell you, there is one favorite song on there, and it basically says that God gave us mountains so we could learn how to climb. Right. And I think that that's something that always sticks with me about, you know, making sure that we know how to climb a mountain.
And finally, why are you the best candidate?
Because I am the person who can actually go to Washington, create relationships, and I think it's because of my motive. My motive is not to look for a higher office. My motive is not because I have a lot of money and I want to be a U.S. Senator. My motive is because I want to help people and really be their advocate. So that's it.
Great. Well, Beth, thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you so much.
All right.
And that's all the time we have for Meet the Candidates. And until next time, make it a great day.